Well, if you've got some mountains, God can cause it to where they can be removed. And he gave you promises about that. You'd be able to speak in your and believe in your heart, it'd be done. And so those are amazing promises, but they're true promises. They really are true promises. I'm going to go back to Acts chapter 10 and Peter's message to Cornelius's house, and where that after he had went to Cornelius's house, and Cornelius had such influence, he had everybody gathered there. Their attitude was about being before the presence of God and so on. And I just believe that the Lord wants to help us tonight. But here in verse 34, it says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." Now, do y'all see that smiley face right there? It's right there, them two, that colon and the parentheses there, you know. It says, you see things in the Bible you never seen before, have you? I pointed that out whenever I preached on that before, but anyway. "That word which I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are his witnesses," or "we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and shewed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that which was ordained of God to be judged of quick and dead, to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word." And I want to focus on verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I want to preach on power for the hour. Could y'all just stand, pray God had helped me to preach tonight. I know this is an important service, and I'd sure like to be used of God to help you. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, you know how much everybody here needs you. I do. Our church needs you. And we're needing power for this hour. And I thank you that Jesus had power for the time that he came into this world. Now I know you're able to help us and use us in the same way. Bless me, O Lord. Touch me and help me to communicate your truth and make people hungry for the power of God. Lord Jesus, be exalted in my message and help me to communicate this and say it and lift you up so good, Lord. I love you and thank you so much for the times you have helped me. Now help us and unify us tonight and keep us to pay attention, Lord, to what you have to say in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to preach on power for the hour. You'll have to admit, we live in somewhat of a disappointing hour. a time where disappointment is rampant. And Jesus did as well. The thing, though, that made Jesus so wonderful to his generation was that Jesus was real. He wasn't put on. He wasn't fake. He had real power. He had real character. He had a ministry that really, really, really helped people. Many times people are disappointed in those that try to help them. And we're just going to have to admit, most of the time when we look to humans, they reach a limit. I don't care how much they know or how much success that they have had in the past. Doctors can only do so much. I'm glad for what they can do, but I'll tell you what, they don't know everything. Doctors make mistakes, and doctors come to a limit. And sometimes people put their trust in doctors and almost, you know, get upset when they prove their humanity. But I'll just tell you what, we need somebody that can go beyond where the doctors are. And in the same way, people may come to certain wise individuals or people that they hold up in wisdom and ask for advice. But the truth is, many times there's unpredictable, unforeseeable events out in the future that even the wisest cannot predict. You ask somebody that's really smart on the money front, but they may not see what's about to happen. Amen, out in the future, and it may all be gone. Whatever wisdom they've had for 50 years may not be true of the next five. So we need somebody that has greater power than just that. Disappointments come in our hour. Now, disappointments many times are when we may elevate humans above what their human ability is, and we're disappointed when they prove themselves to be human. But other times we are disappointed when that we trust in the wrong people. How many would agree that somebody that trusts in Hamas is really, really putting their trust in the wrong people? Hamas is a terrorist group. Now, I'll just tell you the truth. It wouldn't take me long if I was raised over there to figure out if they want my boy to strap on a bomb and blow himself up, that they're the wrong people to trust with my children. Amen? Amen. They don't have a clue. So I'll just tell you the truth. I don't trust them for any reason, but I said this Wednesday night, but it's been so funny to me. I just got to work it in here again tonight. Y'all forgive me if you was here Wednesday night. But, you know, Hamas said they're able to meet the Israeli tanks now because they've got their own tank. And they're having a funeral for seven fellas that was building an illegal tunnel underneath to Israel, and it collapsed on them. They don't know how to build tunnels either, don't sound like. But at any rate, they pronounced it, and everybody in the crowd saw it come down the road, and they were saying, die for Allah and all these other crazy things. But the people that took pictures of it began to notice it was made out of wood. It was rolling on wheels. It wasn't rolling on the tracks like a regular tank would. And really all it was a parade float is what it was. Amen. They pronounced, we're ready to meet die for Allah for sure. Amen. You know? But it was a parade float, and they was trying to make it like that this was some great weapon. Friend, I don't want to be a church like that. That's just a parade float, not a weapon. I want to have power for our day and hour. I don't want to just put on a show. And that's what some people do. They put on a real nice show. They're very interesting, very entertaining, but they're not powerful. And in our day, there's demon-oppressed people. In our day, there's demon-possessed people. We need power more than just being interesting or intellectual or entertaining. We need the power of God, not just a parade float going down the road. Amen. The church is facing some disappointed people. You'll have to admit it. Jesus faced some similar people, because the religious folks of his day were a bunch of fakes and phonies. And we have a group of people that come together and talk about God, talk about church, but their hypocrisy is on display for everybody. And the truth is, many of their preachers have taught them to live in sin. Just like that one fella told Randall Wilson's dad, said, well, the preacher says I got to live in sin every day. I might as well pick the sin I really like to do. You know, all that I can say, folks, and there's going to be a payday someday for some of them preachers right there. Amen. But there's been a lot of folks that's really, really been disappointed by the religious class of our day. I fear that the hypocrisy of our day has caused for the rise of atheism and secularism and so on. Because you know what? You don't have to be too sincere to be an atheist. Amen. I don't think you do. You just have to, you know, want to live like an animal, I guess, and believe evolution really good. But I'm just going to preach to you and tell you that there were great disappointments in Jesus' day, as our day. The political system was also broken. People did not have confidence in their rulers and leaders. Neither do we. And rightfully so. People have betrayed their promises and went back on things that they said. We have political candidates that's running for president. I can't figure out what they're going to do. They say they're going to nominate people to the Supreme Court that are so liberal they're left-wing kooks. And then they say they're going to nominate people to the Supreme Court that's going to overturn the things of the past Supreme Court about homosexual marriage. And then just today they'll come out and say, oh no, I'm going to be the president that furthers equal rights for homosexuals and lesbians and gays like no other president. I'm going to do it better than anybody. Listen, folks, I can't figure that stuff out. I know we're going to have to vote for somebody, I guess. But the truth of the matter is, we can be very disappointed in the way things are going. Amen. But the truth is, Jesus Christ always keeps his promises. Christ showed us that God can be with us in our hour. If God anoints someone and is with them, there can be power for the times where that there's disappointments. Yes, it's a disappointing hour. But let not the church hang down its head in shame and say, well, there are so many disappointments, I just don't guess that we can do much of anything for God. I want to preach to you that during the times of disappointments, God has always had a people that he could anoint and he could have power upon that could change the situation. And so let's look at the need of the hour. The need of the hour in Jesus' day was the same as ours. People have not changed. I realize that back in that day they did not have electricity or computers or cars or jet planes, but it does not matter. Within the heart and mind of man, it's the same man that flies on jet planes and flips switches for electric power as it did that rode on donkeys and lit torches. That's all there is to it. Same problems, same mind, and same heart. Jesus looked out at the needs, and this verse gives two of them. It says that people were oppressed of the devil. That meant that he ruled over them. He bullied them. He overpowered them. And sometimes the devil still overpowers a sensitive spirit and keeps them under terror and fears. There are others that the devil rules in a person's will to where that they cannot and will not resist temptation. Other times people are oppressed in their body. Jesus, the Bible says, loosed a woman that was bound by Satan, and he called her a daughter of Abraham. She was a good woman, but the devil had attacked her body just like the devil attacked Job's body. Listen, folks, there are many times that the devil bullies folks around even now. He does it to sinners. It's plain. They're under his power. But he does it to church folks too. Maybe sometimes it's because we let him. And I found this true in my own life. If I ever yield to a big doubt or fear, it's like, you know, if you're fighting from the mountaintop of faith, it's easier to just thump the devil on the head when you're up above him. But when you're trying to retake that mountain, it's a lot harder climbing up the hill and fighting him all the way. So it's just best for us not to give in to those doubts and fears in the first place. But if you have, I'm going to testify to you, you can retake the mountain. And God can deliver you from the oppression that tries to bring down your doubt, or tries to bring down your faith and cause you to fear. But anyway, there are people that are very oppressed. There are people that are possessed of the devil as well. We are having a rise of evil religious spirits in our world. I'll just tell you the truth. There was a boy I went to Bible school with that was solid as you could be for years and years in his belief systems. I was just talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago. He's still going to church, and he even talked to me at this meeting and seemed just normal and fine, but they told me he has just changed his opinion about major things. I'm talking about major things like abortion and homosexuality and so on. It's unbelievable to me. Do you realize there is such a spirit of error that is in this world that people have to be very careful, because there is an anointing to these false teachers that is very convincing. It's not just intellectual, it's demonic. It's spiritual, friend. And you scratch your head and say, how can somebody believe that? I'll tell you how. It's the devil influencing them. There is an anointing that comes down upon those people and makes them very persuasive. So be careful who you listen to. Be careful what you pay attention to. Amen. And so here it is. There is an oppressive spirit. But then there are people that need help. Jesus went about doing good. They needed help in their homes. They needed help with their finances. They needed help with their habits and overcoming them. They needed help with their sins. Do we not still have people all around us that need help? Amen. There's people oppressed of the devil and need help. I don't care if they got computers and electricity and drive Rolls Royces. They're still oppressed with the devil and need help. That's just simple. It doesn't matter if they're in the White House or if they're down in a slum and a homeless person. Amen. People are oppressed with the devil and they need help. All our great needs deal with spiritual problems. Sin and Satan are to blame for most of the world's problems. You'll have to admit it. If we could take care of the sin problem and have revival in America, couldn't we take care of the drunk driver? Couldn't we? If we had a revival in America, couldn't we take care of the pornography addictions that eventually push people over to doing horrible, violent crimes? If we had revival in America and we took care of the sin and the Satan problem, don't you think that our children would be more safe in schools? Don't you think that women could walk down the streets of major cities without fear of danger? Don't you believe that the violence and the crime would go down just simply if we took care of sin problem? Somebody said, no, what we need is more welfare. No, what we need is a revival. We need the power of God for our hour. The need of the hour is to that has to do with spiritual things. And when that people try to take natural weapons to a spiritual war, it's very foolish. Amen. It's just as foolish as trying to wash dishes with a hammer or to change the oil in a car with dish detergent. You're using the wrong thing. Amen. You say, well, I'm smarter than that. Well, let's get back. I know y'all are smarter than this, but I'll tell you, we need to get America back to having the power of God, because that's what we got to have for this day. The drug addicts, the alcoholics, the broken homes, the prideful religious people that feel like they're going to get a pass to go to heaven and live in sin. What they need is a face-to-face confrontation. Amen. With somebody that's real. Somebody that's real. Somebody that has power. Somebody that has authority that's not earthly. Amen. Let's talk about the man of the hour. Disappointing hour. Yeah, it is. The need of the hour. But what about the man of the hour? Jesus. Oh, how that Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. He's the sinless Savior, the only name under heaven whereby sinners can be saved. The name that's powerful enough to cause demons to tremble and loose their hold on their oppressed. And also open up the doors of heaven and allow a Christian to go in and make his petition to the Heavenly Father. That name, Jesus, is powerful, my friend. And you say the name Jesus. Hallelujah, it's a powerful name. Jesus of Nazareth. I realize that many a times that was said to humiliate Jesus. Can anything good come out of this horribly despicable, despised little town known for immorality, poverty, and evil and wickedness? But I'll just tell you, Jesus made of himself no reputation and came down to that. But he lifted up that name. We say Jesus of Nazareth, and we don't think of Jesus, you know, can anything good? Isn't it wonderful that something so wonderful was able to stay wonderful in the slime pit of sin of Nazareth? Amen. Holy, holy, holy Lord Jesus Christ, that lived all of his life in that wicked place and was not tainted by that sin. And it is by that powerful one, hallelujah, that is the man of this hour. For if he was able to live in such a sinless way, in such a sinful manner, and lift up Nazareth, he can lift us up by moving in our hearts and changing our lives. Amen. He can lift us up. He can change our atmosphere. He can cause us to be pure in this wicked hour. Hallelujah. Says he went about. He was finding something to do. Sometimes, amen, we might pray about asking God what we need to do, open our eyes to something good that needs to be done. But Jesus not only prayed about it, but it seemed like he was finding something that needed to be done good, and he was doing good. Some leave things the way they were when they found them. Others improve the world after they've been there. Jesus changed the world by his goodness. Medical good was done by his healing the sick. Mental good was done by his giving of peace to the troubled mind. Emotional good was by giving joy to that soul that was not able, amen, to experience a great blessing. Spiritual good was done by granting forgiveness. Physical good was done by feeding the hungry. Family good was done by delivering from demons and sending legion back home and say, go tell those people in your hometown and in your house what the Lord has done for you. Moral good was done when the sinner was told those powerful words, go and sin no more. Listen, Jesus went about doing good. Hallelujah. And he's still doing good, is he not? He's still healing the sick. He's still saying, go and sin no more. He's still saying, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. Can I tell you, he went about doing good.
And the church of the living God still needs to be finding good to do everywhere we go, whatever we do. Amen. It says he healed the oppressed. Christ loosed those under the power of the accuser from his evil words and healed their hearts. Christ loosed those from the terror of the devil's rule and put their troubled minds to rest. Christ freed those that the devil, dominated, and they lived joyfully in liberty. Christ loosed those that were sick from his authority, and they went on in health. And Jesus stopped funerals, and brought men out of the graveyard, because he that had the power of death had not power over the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ, I'm preaching to you, he was the man of the hour at that time, and he's still the man of the hour. Yes, we live in a disappointing hour, and we have needs in this hour, but Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, that man of the hour back in that day is the man of the hour for our day. Hallelujah. Could you give the Lord a praise here tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. I feel like giving him some praise here tonight. Hallelujah. If he set you free, you ought to praise him. If he set you free, you ought to praise. If he gave you peace in troubled times, you ought to praise him. If he delivered you from some habit, you ought to give him some praise right now. He's the man of the hour. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. No need too great, no sickness too powerful, no demon so dark, and holding on to a soul that Jesus cannot set free the sick and the sinful and the demon oppressed. Jesus is the man of the hour. Glory to God. And he was the man of the hour that had power for the hour as well. The Bible says that he was anointed by God. Now listen, kings had big jobs. They had to rule over the nation of Israel. And they had to recognize that they could not do it just in and of their own wisdom and personality and the strength of their own willpower. They needed a greater anointing. And so God had a prescription of a certain anointing oil that they placed upon the kings to speak and say that they are the Lord's anointed. Not only that, but he also gave that as a type to say that you need my anointing, a higher anointing, in order to do this job. In the same way, priests were the go-between between man and God. The high priest went into the Holy of Holies. Other priests ministered about the works in the tabernacle and temple. Yes, but they themselves were not able to just memorize all the rules and regulations for the priesthood. They had to have a higher anointing. And so God placed an anointing oil on their head and their hand and their foot. Amen, showing that they needed anointing in their mind, anointing in their work of their hands and the ways of their feet. They needed the power of God to help them. In the same manner, prophets were to speak for God and declare the words of the Lord. And so therefore they were anointed in the same way. All of these people had jobs that were too big for them. Amen. They had things that were tasks above just human ability, and they needed an anointing. Now listen, Jesus was not just the Son of Man, but he was the Son of God. And so he could have reached back to his omnipotent power, but that wasn't the way God wanted him to go through this life. God God wanted him to go through this life like us. And so here he was going through this life, and he was to be the King of Kings. He needed a high anointing to do that. Amen. He was supposed to be the great high priest. He needed a great high anointing to do that. He was to speak not just as a prophet, but to be the very word of God. Amen. He needed a high anointing to do that. And the Bible says that he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Yes, Jesus was empowered by God. Amen. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Higher anointing than any Old Testament king, priest, or prophet. Amen. The high anointing of the power of God that came down upon him. Greater than the power of the devil. Greater than the power of evil that was in the world. Greater than the sickness that was upon mankind. And greater than death itself. There was a higher power upon Jesus Christ. He was approved of God. The Bible says God was with him, his presence with him, and showed that he had the approval of God everywhere he went. But I want to declare to you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As he worked when he walked in this veil of flesh as man, he still works through the church of the living God. As Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. Yes, the Holy Ghost came on Jesus as he was baptized by John the Baptist. But I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost came upon those Gentiles that heard the word and believed. Can y'all hear me tonight? Hallelujah. I want to preach to you and tell you, amen, that the anointing that was upon Jesus flowed right down there to the church of the living God. Amen. It was as if he said, I am the same. I have risen. I'm at the right hand of God the Father, but the anointing continues. It will continue to do good. Amen. Through the church, I'm still going to heal the sick. I'm still going to raise the dead. I'm still going to go about and do good. I'm still going to, amen, deliver those that are oppressed of the devil. How are you going to do it, Jesus? I'm going to do it through my body, the church. As they walk through this world, I'm going to let the anointing come upon them, and they're going to have power for the hour that they live in. Oh, listen, church, we need to have Holy Ghost Pentecostal services all the time, because it's God's will to have somebody in this world that he walks with and anoints and gives power to do good and deliver those that are oppressed of the devil. I'll tell you what, some people can't get shake free from that old NFL demon, much less some of the other things that's more powerful. Amen. We need some power nowadays. Churches shutting down services, having them later, earlier, whatever they need to. I'll tell you, that's not a powerful church. There's going to be people tomorrow that do everything around Super Bowl Sunday. You see who has the greater power? Amen. Who draws the greatest dedication? Amen. Who has the greatest hold and sway over people's minds? It's time for the church to shake loose of the worldly stuff like that and say, my God rules in my heart. My God rules in my mind. There is a higher power. Amen. And I want to have that power, because there's too many of our families breaking up. There's too many backsliders out there that are going to hell, and there needs to be a powerful church that's right here for the last days. You say, but Brother Lord, it seems like sinners are deaf to the message anymore. I understand. Amen. They're disappointed. Some of them's deceived. Some of them are so in love with the world, they'll take a worldly church false doctrine rather than the true Word of God. And I'll just tell you the truth. We got to confront them with the real power of God. Back in the early days of the Pentecostal power, amen, in the early 20th century, there was a preacher named Howard Carter, or Harold Carter. And as that he was, he had a church over in England, and a Welsh man came that was deaf, and Brother Carter laid his hands on him and prayed for him to hear. He said, "Can you hear me?" And the man obviously could not hear what Brother Carter said. So Brother Carter went into his office and prayed and said, "God, I need the anointing. Where is your mighty power that sees these great miracles that are recorded in the Bible? We pray for your power. We preach that you're a healer. Oh, God, would you give the anointing?" He said, all of a sudden, the anointing came on him. He said, "I could feel it all the way through my body." I went out into the auditorium and found that Welsh man again and began to pray for him with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance in his prayer. He's praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And the Welsh man's ears opened. Hallelujah. And this man, Welsh is a rare language. It's not spoken very much even by the Welsh people over there much anymore. But I'll tell you what this man heard the first time that his ears were open where he could hear. He heard Brother Carter praying in his language. Hallelujah. And Brother Carter did not know how to speak the Welsh language. I want you to understand, God still anoints. God still empowers. God still moves. He still wants to open the ears of the deaf as well as the spiritually deaf. He wants to open their ears, but how's it going to be? There has to be a people, amen, that God is with and anoints to do good and deliver all that are oppressed of the devil. Yes, there's many people under his bondage, but there's a power that's greater than the powers of hell. God has power for this hour, my friend. Hallelujah. The church still needs this anointing. Amen. We are the New Testament priests that God needs to be anointed to pray. We are the New Testament prophets that must speak the word to this generation. We are those that will rule with Christ and need the anointing to exercise this authority. The needs are the same. Christ is the same. The anointing is the same. And God will help a church in this hour to win souls, to have miracles, and defeat the powers of hell. And we've already had it this year. Listen, folks, people that needed glasses are not wearing glasses tonight here in this service. That happened this year. That didn't happen in the 20s. That didn't happen in the early church. That happened here at this church, and it just happened this year in 2016. We've got people that was healed. We got a little baby that never used her voice that's using it right now. Amen. Been 6 months, 7 months without using her voice, and all of a sudden, God opened up the voice. Amen. I'm preaching to you and telling you that God is one to use this church in a mighty way. And so I just say, Lord, I want you to be with us and anoint us and help us to do good. Help us to wage war with the powers of hell. Because there's people that need to be free. There's people, no doubt, even in this church service, that you need the peace of God. You need the joy of the Holy Ghost. You need deliverance. God has it for you. Could you stand and raise your hands here tonight and give the Lord a praise? Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you and praise you and worship you. Oh, God, I want your anointing. want the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I hunger and thirst after thy great goodness to fill us up. I praise you, Lord, for what you have done already in this year. And I'm asking for the mighty power of God to continue to use people. I'm asking for folks that may have not even grasped a hold of the idea that you can use them to get this in their heart. You want to fill them with the Holy Ghost and refill them with the Holy Ghost until you use them to win souls and pray for the sick. Hallelujah. And touch people's lives all around them. God, I pray that you'd raise up a mighty band of prayer warriors in this church. Amen. That would assault the gates of hell and pull down the strongholds of the devil until conviction rests upon our backsliders and families that have left our church and come back in deep repentance and get right with God. Let there be a mighty move of the Spirit, a mighty anointing of the Holy Ghost. Help us, Lord. And I give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. How many say, I don't want to be just a parade float. I want to have the power of God. I don't want to just look like a church kind of. I want to be a powerful church God wants us to be. Hallelujah. I want to be the real thing. Hell, I'll tell you, this world has seen some shenanigans. But if they could see the real, what would they see? Amen. I believe they see the real in many lives as you're going about it every day. And oh, let God pour out his Spirit and anoint us in a special way. How many want that anointing tonight? Could we come around these altars? Let's seek God. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, tonight's a good night to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You need a refilling of the Spirit. Please get refilled with the Holy Ghost as soon as you possibly can. Let God use you. Let God move upon you. Hallelujah.